Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
And now the pitch by Martinez. His option in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Barrichek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzhinsky wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yerzhinsky not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posehnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Redemption, no. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Les Schwab Tires Podcast at 1080thefan.com or radio.com app. Speaking of podcasts, Beers on Us drops tomorrow around 4 o'clock. It is an interactive tasting room, so jump on the Instagram at Beers on Us. See the beers Mike picked. We usually buy these beers at Market of Choice, so get to your local Market of Choice. Pick those up, and you can drink along with us.
You can also find them other places, most likely. I imagine most of the beers I picked could be found at your local bottle shop if need
yeah,
be.
If need be. Yeah. Support local. Buy local. Download podcasts. Rate, subscribe.
Review. Download.
Excellent.
Right.
Excellent job.
Review.
Blazers are losing to the Kings by three at halftime, which is funny because they're not shooting threes.
They are now. They just set the record for most threes and a half.
Oh.
That they've hit this year.
Well, there you go. Hassan Whiteside plays for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Booyah.
Just like how that was the complete opposite of my
I just looked up and it said that. Yeah.
Not shooting threes. Well, actually.
They just set a record.
Well, they were
idiot.
Losing by like 22 and now they're losing by three. So I think that's probably the reason.
Remember that conversation we had earlier about the microphone keeping you in check? Whoopsies. Out the door and straight into the Willametta.
Well, if the microphone can't keep you in check, your co-host keeps you in check.
Yes,
speaking of the
you.
Microphone keeping you in check.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get this season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game.
Hey, Josh Turner, come give me a hug.
Positive.
I always call
he was
Josh.
Immediately isolated to prevent spread.
To prevent spread.
My name's COVID. I mean Manfred. Woman Fred. Guy Fred.
Blazers hit 13 threes in the first half.
Oh, hey, good for them.
13 for 26, a smooth 50.
Wait, like record for most threes taken?
No, hit in a half for them so far this year.
I thought Klay Thompson had that record.
So it was this season record?
Pretty sure they said this year this was the most threes they had hit in a half.
They, like, not like league-wide.
It's only like 10 games.
Yeah, that's a personal.
Bad stat, Mike. God, your stat sucks, dude.
I'm just referencing what the TV told me. God.
You should know better than to listen to the television, Michael.
That's bad for you. Listen to the radio instead.
You were going to ask me a question.
Yeah. So you are a fan of a baseball team that just traded its best player.
Yep.
For nothing. They said they were going to trade their best player for years, despite the fact that your best player said, no, I want to stay here, and I love the city, and I love the fans. And they said, that's nice. We can't afford to pay you.
Adios.
Even though we're a baseball team that makes a lot of money, can't afford to pay you, Frankie Lindor. Go have fun with the Mets. We'll take on Jimenez.
Ahmed Rosario. I love that you're in on this Jimenez thing, because I just stare at Ahmed Rosario's face.
You know why? Because I keep forgetting Ahmed Rosario's name, but I remember Jimenez. So when I'm thinking about Rosario, but
you got Eloy Jimenez? Nice. No.
Jimenez with a G.
No. Dang it.
And I just keep trying to remember Rosario, and I can't remember him because he's such a nothing burger that I go right back to Jimenez, because at least for some reason that's sticking in my head.
And I just stare at Ahmed Rosario's face in my mind and just think, you will die.
So you root for a team
that I have no local allegiances to.
No local allegiances to, and it seems like they hate winning. Now, this is not a required...
Are we speaking about the Cleveland Indians or the Baltimore Orioles, by chance? Because I feel like this situation is pretty damn similar.
When was the last time you guys won a World Series?
80?
Yeah, 83. Yeah, congratulations. 48. That was with a 4.
Well, it seems like 48, okay?
You can just sit quietly over there, Mr. 27, all right?
Well, it's been a while for us,
too. God.
Partying while. In the streets like it's Tuscaloosa or what?
2009, long time, you know? Anyway, so it could be about the Orioles, although, Joe, I feel like you are at a point where your team has spent money in the past and has now gone with the tank rebuild. And I'd say they're about 50% of the way through the tank rebuild. You know, you got some good young players that are coming up. Could be about you if you want, but you're doing it right. The Indians, it doesn't really feel like they ever try to rebuild. It just kind of feels like they get a couple of good players and they're good, and then they throw them all away, and then they're bad. And it's like not rebuild. It has no plan to it.
Right.
So my question to you was, especially considering you have left your fandom as a Charger fan, have you considered or had the thought, especially after Frankie was traded, your favorite player, of not being an Indians/Spiders fan anymore?
The night that I sat in bed and watched MLB Network gush over how great of a trade this was for the Mets and how excited they are to see Frankie Lindor in a Mets jersey, I contemplated it. Mm-hmm. It crossed the brain. it's tough because whether it was Shapiro, who just got a new deal in Toronto when he was the GM in Cleveland, or to Antonetti now, who's the GM in Cleveland. And I love both of them. They were fantastic GMs for a mid-market team, small market team. When your payroll is $35 million, you can't be a mid-market team.
It's weird to me to think that Cleveland is a small market, yeah, but you know.
It's ridiculous. Cleveland's like us, but they have NFL.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, they're cooler than us. They have NFL and MLB. And we just got Blazers.
Blazers.
And a championship soccer team, dude.
That is true.
What up, dude? Merritt Paulson, you're the man. I hope you're listening.
Also, MLS is back tournament winners.
Oh, that's
a Champions League invitees.
Right. Damn right. Got the 8th overall pick, too. Let's go. Feel the heat.
Goodbye, Villafania.
I liked him, too. So I thought about it. I think, but I'm going to hold on for a little bit. I'm still going to hold on for a little bit because I trust our scouting department, and we still have Tito. So that helps. The Francona thing helps a lot. The reigning Cy Young winner helps a lot. Shane Bieber is going to be a top five Vegas odds to win the Cy Young again.
Do you think he'll be quite as good?
Yeah.
Or do you think he'll have a bit of a regression?
No, I don't think so.
Because last year he was insanely good.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the next great Indians pitcher.
The next great pitcher, then.
Yeah, the next great pitcher. Because, so I look at it this, so this is what's kind of keeping me on board with this. And this is a little nerdy, so I apologize for the nerdy, but it's okay. It's kind of a cool tree. Bartolo Colon was traded in 2002 to the Expos. Yeah, the Expos were a team then. Mm-hmm. In that trade, the Indians acquired a young prospect named Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee eventually won a Cy Young in Cleveland and was then traded to the Phillies. Mm-hmm. In that Phillies deal, we got a guy named Carlos Carrasco. Now Carrasco is being traded, and Lindor is being traded. And my thought process is...
You also traded CeCe Sabathia.
This is true, but we didn't really get anything out of it. wasn't anything great that came
so
out.
So it kind of reminds you of this a little bit.
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit, but I want to see. But I want to hold out.
That was
wait.
Also a midseason trade. That,
yep. I just so I kind of want to hold out, see if any of these kids are good, and see if it was the smart deal. But if we gave away Frankie Lindor for a bag of groceries, then I'm out. Like, that's tough. This is my favorite player in baseball.
Okay,
this isn't my favorite player on my team, and I like Mike Trout a lot. No, this is my favorite player in baseball. And I think if I wasn't a Cleveland fan, Lindor would still be very high on my list.
So, okay, so you're saying if this doesn't pan out. You're kind of giving me two different answers here. You're excited about some of the players you still have on the team. You like Shane Bieber a lot.
I do.
You like McKenzie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You like some of the young guys you have in your lineup.
I would like to see Bradley Zimmer stay healthy, play center field. That's what I'd like to see.
So you're telling me this as a reason why you want to hang around. But if the couple of prospects you got don't pan out, does that just goes out the window then?
Well, kind of, because nobody's going to get re-signed long-term. Like, Shane Bieber's not getting re-signed long-term. You know, he's making, what, 500 G's
well,
right now?
Ramirez was, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ramirez, he's only making 10.5, and I feel like we got lucky on that. So,
he's also not like a top-tier player. He's like a second-tier player.
Oh, he only finished third in the MVP. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You weirdo. What's wrong with you?
I don't view him as a top-tier. And remember, with me, top-tier
You play fantasy baseball. How do you not know this?
Top-tier is small for me. I view him as a second-tier guy.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. Yes, I take that. I'm thinking second-tier like Ahmed Rosario.
No. Like, I think of top-tier players. I think of the best players in baseball.
Okay,
that is not Jose
You think
Ramirez.
Like DeGrom, Trout,
yes.
Mookie Betts.
Yes.
That list is small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it takes a lot for you to crack that. Is Frankie in that top list?
No.
You're wild. But I understand. But I get it. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's tough. I think, you know, giving up on a team that you've rooted for since you were young, a team that kind of taught you everything you know about your favorite sport, and that's a tough departure. I think if we got a baseball team here in Portland, it would make that easier. I could probably easily jump ship on that. Like if 2021 was going to be the first season of the Portland Mavericks, or 2022, if I knew 2022 was going to be the first season of the Portland Mavericks, I would probably bail.
Mm-hmm. And just get ready for the Portland team.
Yep, and just dive everything into that.
I have a personal experience with this. We have a text, too. I'll start with myself. I was a Nets fan growing up. Growing up, I was a Yankees, Broncos, Devils, Nets fan. Those are my teams, right? I'm from New Jersey. I went out of the box of the NFL because I was a bit of a front runner as a kid.
Kidd's the man.
Love John Elway. Love Terrell Davis. Loved Ed McCaffrey. Rod Smith, all those guys. I love that
Rod
team.
Smith, underrated wide receiver.
Yes, love that team. Otherwise, I was a fan of the local teams, right? But the NBA, when I was growing up, it was my favorite sport. And then in like 2003, for whatever reason, I just stopped watching it. Just completely stopped.
Didn't Nets go to an NBA Finals around that time?
Yeah, I watched those finals years. And after, I think they got swept by the Lakers. I think I stopped watching it that next year. And it wasn't like out of anger. It was just my interests as a teenager changed.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't an NBA fan anymore.
You like girls instead.
Yep. And baseball.
Or boys. It's okay to like both.
And baseball. I moved here. I completely stopped following the Nets. I would watch the NBA, but, you know, not as a fan, just as a sports fan. And, you know, I would say, oh, I'm a Nets fan, but I haven't really followed them. And then I moved here and I fell in love with the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was a very easy decision, especially once the Nets switched to Brooklyn, even though I root for New York teams, too, because that's the area. The Nets were a New Jersey team. And that's why, like, I'm a huge Devils fan. It's like, for those of us in New Jersey, like, you guys are just New York frontrunners. Like, it's cool to have a team that's actually your team.
True. Like, I'm technically from Vancouver.
Right.
If the Timbers were technically the Vancouver Timbers, oh, man.
Right.
You couldn't pry that from my hands.
Like, the Devils are horrific right now. They're really bad, but I love them.
And as bad as the Wings, though.
That is true.
I heard that.
And I'm gonna watch them this year. But with the Nets, for whatever reason, once they moved to Brooklyn, I lost that last connection of like, well, they're still a New Jersey team. And I switched to be a Blazer fan. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. We got a text that said, I switched allegiances from the Rockies after they traded Tulo, then DJ, and now we're being weird with Nolan. I grew up in Denver, but it's hard to root for an amusement park. I went all in on the White Sox and had a blast watching that lineup during COVID. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I think there's like this weird taboo rule. Like, you never stop rooting for your team. But, you know, if they shame you, then maybe that's not the right word. If they
shame is totally fine rule.
Did you
hear those names? Do I need to read those names again?
If they damage you as a fan with what they're doing, I think it is acceptable after a certain period of time to go, you know what? Screw you.
So we're way past it. So I want to be quick on this. What would you do if you were me? Would you give it up?
No. If I were you, because it's baseball.
Yeah.
Like the connection is so strong, especially in baseball. You watch 162 game season.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give it up. But boy, would I be close. If they did another move that was just like an F you to the fans and like, money, money, money.
If Shane Bieber was gone, it's like, wait, you pay him $650.
Right. I'd be pushed to it. You know. But if it was me, no, I wouldn't.
Okay. Then I will trust your judgment. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to get myself a Shane Bieber t-shirt jersey.
You're going to blame me for this forever now.
And no, not at all. And we'll stick through it. Jose Ramirez, boy, I need you to finish first in MVP next year. Okay. Now that's third garbage. All right. Step it up. All right, when we come back, I do want us to talk about this real quick. I want to get to the south side of Chicago as they just signed Liam Hendricks to a deal. And what is this relief market looking like? I kind of want to dive into a little bit of that. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
So the White Sox continue to make some moves as they sign free agent closer Liam Hendricks, formerly of the A's. Pretty good guy. Pretty good pitcher.
He is a pretty good closer, and he had some interesting things to say, too.
Oh, I didn't see that.
No. It wasn't like weird or anything. I got to look up the exact quotes, but he had a little
interview. I just haven't heard anything.
let me see if I can find it. He had an interview where he said some interesting things.
You look, I'll talk. 3 years, $54 million. That's a lot of cash. That's a lot of cash for a reliever. two things on this real quick. White Sox, go you. Good for you. Your window's here. You just saw the Indians trade the best player in the division. Who knows what the Twins are going to look like? This is yours. So run at it, grab it. This deal is actually a pretty friendly deal in the sense, let's see, Hendricks is going to make $39 million over the first 3 years. And it says, and the buyout and fourth year salary option are both $15 million. And if the White Sox, decline the option, they'll be able to pay the buyout over the course of multiple years. So it's a backloaded contract.
It's guaranteed too fully, right?
Well, yes.
If they cut him,
the 54. Yeah, the 54 is guaranteed because if they decline the option, the buyout's $15 million. If they take it, it's an extra $15 million.
I can't find the quotes, by the way, but he seems like an interesting cat.
Ooh, I like weirdos.
Yeah, he's like Trevor Bauer, but as a closer, sort of.
Can he be our closer? Can he be the Hot Corner's closer?
Sure.
Because we got Greinke.
Yeah.
We got to have weirdos.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, he throws pretty hard. It's going to be hard for me to catch him.
Well, you better figure it out, Mike.
we picked slow pitchers for me. Well, we picked slow pitchers.
We got to have somebody.
Do we need like a ninth inning catcher to come in for me?
Okay, never mind. We know our closer. Yeah,
roll the ball up to me for Fernando.
Hiya. But I'm interested in this because, so I was watching MLB Network, and you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, whenever there's dead air time, they love their rankings, the little list radio-esque sort of thing. And they did the top relievers in baseball. And both guys on there both picked Liam Hendricks.
Really?
Yeah, they both said he is the best reliever in baseball right now. And my thought process, I was starting to wonder, are they saying, I mean, these guys watch Major League Baseball all the time, so, you know, so I expect them to know what they're talking about. But is it one of those, like, he is a free agent and a hot commodity, so all of a sudden we value him more than he's actually worth? I mean, do you consider Liam Hendricks the best reliever in baseball? Because I don't.
Well,
but then I asked myself, I was like, I looked at their list and I was like, who's better? And I was like, well, I don't got an answer for that.
Right. Like who would even be close to being on that list? I'm not saying better.
Who
else is at the top right now? Cause the closer position has lost a lot of its like legendary longstanding names.
Sure.
who's the most legendary longstanding right now? Probably Chapman, but he's no longer the best closer in baseball.
Right, you can get to him and you know how to.
Yes. He can be really good, but has been much more inconsistent.
Yeah. I mean,
beyond Chapman, Kenley Jansen,
nope.
He was terrible last year.
Adios. They had Anderson on the list from the Rays.
Okay.
But I watched that World Series.
Craig Kimbrell. I'm trying to
think. Yeah, I know.
Nick Anderson's new. I'm thinking of like the classic longstanding closers. Craig Kimbrell, no, not good anymore.
Not good anymore. Kenley
Jansen might still be good, but had a bad year.
But definitely not
Chapman,
the peak
super
anymore.
Inconsistent, no longer peak.
Rascal Iglesias.
Sure.
Maybe not.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of up in the air. And then if you think about it, Liam Hendricks was really good last year.
He was really good.
And he was good the year before, too. And maybe he is the best closer in baseball.
I also wonder if, and you kind of alluded to this, does the closer really matter anymore?
Well, it's changed.
I saw that list of MLB.com's, and like Brad Hand was number three, number four.
Brad Hand stuff.
And it's like, I've watched Brad Hand. I don't know about that.
He's not that good. It's changed completely because
he's just big. He's really big.
Yeah, it's become like use your best relievers in high leverage situations. You know.
Yeah,
the Cardinals were the first team to really do that with Andrew Miller when they got him in the trade with the Yankees. Was that the Yankees who traded?
No, they got him from us. He was a free agent.
Okay. But yeah,
Yankees
the Cardinals
traded to Cleveland.
Right.
He walked, went to St. Louis.
Gotcha. And St. Louis, they used him like in the fifth inning.
Well, I mean, that's what Francona did.
Yeah.
Because we had Cody Allen. And so, yeah.
Because you had Cody Allen.
Because you had Cody Allen because that was terrible. Like, oh, Cody Allen knows the pressure of the late game and the closeout. So that's why we're going to go with Cody Allen. And Tito brought in Andrew Miller when it was the most important out of the game.
Gotcha.
The last out of the game, I don't want to sound like John Madden here, but the last out of the game is not always the most important out.
Correct.
I understand. You get that out, you win the game. I understand that. Go ahead and at me.
No, sometimes the one-run lead in the fifth that you need to protect.
But sometimes, yeah, sometimes that out in the sixth inning is what you need.
Mm. Okay, so best closer in baseball, sure. I'll be willing to accept that right now, for sure. Goes to a White Sox team that I was pretty high on last year. They didn't fully realize their potential, but they did make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play very well in that series, but they made the playoffs.
Right.
And they're kind of poised to be that next big team. And you're right, the AL Central is very winnable right now.
Yeah, but I also find it interesting, too, because I wonder how, and you might have forgotten this, how Tony La Russa is going to use him.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Remember?
No, I didn't remember.
Tony,
I'm annoyed that you reminded me.
Tony La Russa is the manager in Chicago. And he's going to use Liam Hendricks as a closer.
Yes, he will.
He is not going to use him in high leverage situations. He's going to go old school.
What if he surprises us all and is actually like the most progressive manager all of a sudden?
I doubt that. I'm pretty sure he doesn't like people of color. And that team is littered with them and really good players.
Yeah. And he hates fun.
And those guys look like they have lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that texter who said, you know, I watched the White Sox bailed on my team. Watch that. That was a ton of fun.
Well, you might be watching a little bit more of a reserved version of that.
Ooh, yikes. Anyway, so that'll be something to look at. I just thought that was interesting. And the relief market right now, I mean, like, who's the best? I feel like...
Well, Brad Hand, right?
I feel like at the end of 2021, we're going to be like, well, duh, it's obviously this guy's the best, and we haven't said his name ever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of become the reliever game now, is it's the random guy who throws 98 that all of a sudden... Like, I mean, they got Karinchak.
Yeah.
Who the hell is that?
He's great.
Exactly.
He's great.
Exactly.
Yes, we can throw the baseball. We just can't hit the baseball. That is a key aspect of baseball. But we've got one of them down. I do like this text, and I actually responded to them, but I just want to give them some love because it did bring a smile to my face. When I asked if I should bail on this team, they said no because their new name, logo, and uniforms will be sick. And you are totally correct.
What if they don't pick Spiders, though?
That's going to suck, and then I'm out.
What if they pick Cleveland baseball team?
They won't. They already said they wouldn't. But I've heard like the Commodores, and unless Lionel Richie's on a piano singing "Easy Like Sunday Morning," I'm not into that.
Easy like Sunday morning.
But I would love. I mean, if it's the Commodores, like the soul band, then I'm totally in. But I'm pretty sure it's like the Commodores, like
can they play for you?
White people at war.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if I need Lionel Richie running the infield for me right now.
Is there another C name that would be better for the alliterative? Alliterative
purposes. The CC? Carsten Charles.
Ah, yes. The Cleveland Carsten Charleses.
Yes. the third. Carson Charles Sabathia III, one of my favorite pitchers of all time.
The new name of the Cleveland baseball team.
Or the CC Cleveland Sabathias.
The Cleveland Carson Charles III Sabathias.
That'd be great. All right, we come back. We got fair or foul. But before we do that, here's an introduction to my good friend, Mr. Joseph Fisher with sports.
Is it fair?
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's a fair ball.
Or is it foul?
Well, he thought it was foul, I think.
A knowledge test for Patrick and Mike to see how well they know the big leagues.
Mathematics and strange symbols now, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. The OBP and the SLG and the ISO and the you name it.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth. And nobody noticed.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
And a cascade of boos rained down from the stands.
This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, as we are already over because I'm an idiot, I will toss this over to our fantastic producer, Mr. Joseph Fisher III.
Well, you know what? I might just have to delay it a little bit more. I'm trying to finish this training on bias in the workplace right now.
Hey, not a good thing, man. We all got to know. We're all equal. We're all worth our own weight. Unless you suck at your job, then you just suck at your job.
I don't know. Right now, they're trying to accuse this guy of stealing tablets.
Well, if he stole tablets, if his name is Jeremiah Masoli, then he's guilty.
He did look like a Jeremiah. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, Jeremiah Masoli went to the same high school as Jaden Delora. Remember that name. That's a future Heisman Trophy winner.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Calm down.
No, it's not.
All right, moving on to fair or foul.
That doesn't exist.
The big move was that Frankie Lindor going to the New York Mets. Fair or foul, the Mets are not done at making moves.
I'll go first on this. I think this is a big fair. I think they're still in it on George Springer.
Big fair.
I think they've got a chance.
Huge fair.
And I wouldn't be shocked if they try to move pieces. They didn't move much to get Frankie Lindor, which means they've still got some in the pipeline. And they need a center fielder, I think. And they need bullpen desperately. That Liam Hendricks number is really high, so I'm not shocked that they're not just throwing money at people. But no, they're not done.
As long as Cohen stays the owner,
they're never
done. I will say permanently they are not done. He seems to be in it to win it for good. He seems to be...
Yeah, I should have reiterated this off season.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that does count as that. He is still the owner, so they are not done. George Springer is a big one. I do think they're going to try and get him. I think they probably need him, to be honest with you, to try to get up in that Braves territory at the top of the NL East. But yeah, you're right about the trades, too. I would expect the Mets name to be in on every big name free agent slash trade target moving forward. So no, fair or foul.
Fair,
they're not done.
Fair.
Not done.
God, okay.
Steve Cohen kind of reminds me a little bit of Merritt Paulson, the owner of the Timbers.
Why?
Like, because he gets on Twitter and he, like, fights for his team and he, like, engages with fans.
Kind of reminds me of Steve Ballmer, actually.
Really? I think he's less douchey.
I don't think Ballmer's douchey. I think he's just a really excited Clippers fan.
This is just, like, awkward.
This is loud.
Not a Cuban guy, though, so we're good. Sorry, Joe. Continue.
All right. Speaking of teams signing deals, Manny Machado, he signed with the Padres for $1 billion.
This is correct.
Fair or foul. The Padres will ink their second 10-year contract this offseason. Well, not this offseason, but during this offseason when they signed Fernando Tatis Jr. to a 10-year contract.
I'll say fair on that one. I mean... That's the years they talked about with him, right? 10 years?
I've heard 11.
It's been floated around.
It would be a smaller deal. It would be more of the like of maybe an Acuña, although probably bigger than that because he and Ozzy Albies kind of got railroaded by the Braves. But
and Bregman.
Never
mind.
It'll be much bigger if it's a 10-year deal. They'll give him a lot more money because that's going to be going into his prime years. But if he agrees to that this early in his career, it's going to be such a great move for the Padres. Because the value on that deal is going to be sparkling in 5 years.
And that's why I think this is fair. And that because I think San Diego is obviously, you know, GM-wise, they're going to hold their cards close to the chest. You know, but that's what they're going to sell to him. They're going to sell, look, you're going to get your money right now. You're going to get it all up front. You're going to be rich. You're going to be taken care of. And if you do this, we will continue to spend more money to get you a World Series. And I think the kid says yes. I think if he'd been in the league for 3-4 more years, he might say, no, I'm going to bet on myself. Like a Machado. Like, hey, you take a little bit of a deal to come here, we will spend that extra money on other people. And Machado was like, nah, I'm going to go somewhere and get paid. And when he signed with the Padres, you're like, what an idiot. Clearly he wants to get paid. If you're Tatis, it's dumb. Don't take the Acuna deal. But I think he does. I think he does because I think Padres are trying to guarantee him a World Series.
Well, also, it gives you a lot of stability for the rest of your life. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, sure,
you're
but I mean,
good money, you're in the same team.
Yeah, Mike, good. But $150 million is a lot different than $300 million. And right now, he is a 10-year, $300 million guy. Not now, right. But if he continues this path in 4 years, he is a 10-year, $300 million. Frankie Lindor is going to get 10 years, $300 million.
Probably true.
And it just depends. You know, it's like Acuna. What are you doing, bub? You're a $400 million player. We need the money now. Take it.
All right. Back to the Lindor news. And Cleveland getting rid of one of their best players. Was going to be one of their highest paid players. So now that they don't have that on their payroll books for this upcoming season, fair or foul, Cleveland's projected 2021 payroll is less than $50 million.
Well, I already know this answer. I believe the answer is at 35. Cleveland's only got five guys making over $1 million.
Okay, well, there goes
and
that one.
Jose Ramirez makes 10.5 of that, which is wild. I don't see the Indians signing anybody unless it's a veteran on a $2 million a year kind of deal. Shane Bieber makes nothing. Plesac makes nothing. Yeah, these guys are cheap, cheap, cheap. I actually think Cleveland will start the 2021 season with the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball.
Ooh,
by like 10 mil.
Lower than the Pirates? I don't know about that.
Well, let me go look.
Pirates are a pretty bad team. It is fair, though. I mean, we talked about it earlier, Joe. So, yeah, the answer is fair.
Oh, shows how much I was paying attention.
You had training you were doing.
Well, of course. Yes, Endercom. Are you listening? I am a company man that's doing their training 4 days after it was due.
Pirates estimated 2021 payroll, $47 million. Last year, their payroll was $62 million.
They're going down, too. There you go.
All right, and on to our last one. Liam Hendricks going to the Chicago White Sox. Fair or foul, Liam Hendricks has the lowest ERA over the last two seasons of all MLB. Everyone, minimum 80 innings pitched.
Oh.
Interesting. The lowest ERA of anyone in Major League Baseball in the last 2 years.
Over the last 2 years.
Last 2 years. Well, it's kind of back to what you were talking about, Mike. Like,
there's not a lot of other closers.
What other dominance have we seen?
Well, I was going to... Okay, so Devin Williams was really good, but he only came up for the first time last year, so that won't count.
Can I ask... This might be cheating, and you can tell me no by all means, Joe. Can I ask what his ERA is over the last 2 years? Or is that cheating?
I guess I can tell you. 1.79.
See, 1.79 over 2 years? Like, sneaky question here. Where's Jacob DeGrom?
Probably like a 2-2 or something, or 2-1.
Where's Garrett Cole?
Higher than that.
See, but you see what I mean? Like, some starters...
I think it would
starters,
have to be a reliever. Because relievers can have incredible seasons where their ERAs are very low.
Right, but some relievers have incredible seasons, but their ERA is still 2 because they only pitch 80 innings.
What about, like, Josh Hader?
Yeah.
I mean, he had, like 2 years ago, he was insane. Last year, not quite as good.
I'm going to go with the experts that tell me he's the best reliever in baseball and say this is fair.
I'm going to say foul just to be contrarian.
Cool. I want a list, though.
I got three. Top three for you. Lowest ERA in 2019 and 2020. Number three, Alex Colome.
Ooh.
2.27.
2.27, okay.
Number two.
Is he still in the White Sox, too?
Yeah, Alex, so. Or excuse me, not Alex. Zach Britton.
Your guy.
Okay.
Your guy.
Sadly. 1.9, and number one, Liam Hendricks with 1.79.
Zach Britton at number two, Alex Colome at number three.
Both of those surprised. All three of them surprised me, to be honest with you.
I was wondering if is what's the closest starter on that list?
Oh, I only have three. Oh,
okay, never mind. But you know what I mean, though? I thought that was a fair question. I think some starters over a two-year period could have a baller ERA.
Yeah, who would it be?
Look at Roger Clemens on the juice.
It'd be DeGrom, right?
Have to be. He's the best pitcher in baseball. Except for...
Biebs, of course. After this year.
Is that it? We good?
Yep, we're good.
That is fair or foul. When we come back, let's wrap this bad boy up. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I just get off at weird times. It's 8:52. This is Portland Sports Leader. This is the Hot Corner. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
We love you all. We think.
We love you all. The 7-foot kid that strokes it with the acne on his back. He's still in the league, isn't he?
Yeah, he had COVID.
Oh, man.
This is a funny tweet from Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob on Twitter, by the way.
Okay.
We've been watching Blazers-Kings here. It's a two-point game now. Blazers have been down by 20 twice and have come back twice.
Come back, kids. It's playoff testing right here.
Yep. He tweets, the Sacramento Kings are impossible to figure out. One quarter, they look like they would beat the 98 Bulls by double digits. And the next, Daffy Duck and Pepe Le Pew are giving them 50.
I just want to know why De'Aaron Fox doesn't have his dreads anymore. They look so good.
You were so upset about that. I honestly...
Hey, man, when you have no hair, Mike, I've heard Jason Sukanik talk about this. When you have good hair and you get rid of it, it's offensive to those of us that don't have hair.
My point, it was less about that and more like, I didn't know what De'Aaron Fox looked like because I haven't watched the Kings play basketball much.
Oh, but I watched him at Kentucky, that's why. Because I remember him in college.
I don't. So, I just...
It's okay, he only played 1 year at Kentucky.
Right. And then he went to Sacramento where nobody cares.
Yeah.
Outside of people in Sacramento.
He's a lottery pick. That was some ugly, ugly transition basketball.
Well, it's the use of Nurkic. Give him a break.
Yeah,
he got the ball in the bucket. He misses a lot. Just be happy
for
him.
But who is that defending him? Like,
who cares?
He like slowed down with him.
Who cares?
He was like, Nurkic's going slow. Now I am slow.
The Blazers, well, now it's tied again. The Blazers had the lead. It's okay. Don't judge.
Whiteside off the bench, dominating. Shouldn't have let him go. What's a Metu season?
I don't know.
Actually,
it's a player on the Kings.
I don't know who his name. My bad.
Well, his name is Metu. Season, as in his stats on the season.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes me feel better. I was worried that his name was Season.
No, that was like his stats for the
season. And I was like, what's a Metu season?
I just don't know what Metu is.
Yeah, way to go, Melo. Way to dive on that ball as it's going out of bounds.
I think it went out on the Kings, though. Is this interesting to you guys, having us half watch a Blazer game?
Yes.
I could literally just listen to a sports show that has this as a theme and just...
Well, see, you wouldn't be listening to the sports show. You'd just be listening to this and singing it over what they're saying.
No, I want someone go... That would be great. I'd be totally into that. I would be totally into that.
We'll watch Fox Sports College basketball.
No, they don't do that.
Guess what,
they
Patrick?
Do. Oh, really?
We just did that.
I know. I feel like, Mike, if you and I were like early in the morning, like if we had to do a show early in the morning, I feel like that's how we should start every morning.
Imagine
wouldn't
that
just pump you up?
Just wake us up.
Imagine that being your alarm. When you wake
well,
up.
It's so jarring. Just like be quiet for a quick second. Whoa, hey. Oh, and the Bulls have three-peated for the second time.
You probably get sick of that after like 2 days, waking up to that.
Well, so I've
got so jarring.
So I got a
bam, dun, 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 dun.
So I got a new phone.
Humble brag.
And it changed some of the ringtones that I had as my alarms because I think the iPhone changed its default ringtone. So I had a specific sound that I'd always woken up to, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the alarms I never set, and it was a different one. And I woke up to that alarm like a week ago. It was so loud and jarring. And it was like, I'm used to a certain sound to wake up, and it like starts a little quietly and then goes. This one was just like, and I was like, ah, I'm awake.
I have this new crazy thing where I all of a sudden have to be aware of this.
I was also miserable.
My girlfriend does not like it when the TV is too loud. Like, she's sensitive. She likes things that are pretty quiet volume.
Like generally?
No, I don't think so. I feel like it's a TV thing.
That's annoying because sometimes you need to be able to hear what's on the TV.
Right, and she likes it real quiet.
Does she have super hearing?
I don't know. So I've been like trying to find this happy balance, and there have been times lately where I'm like, God, why is the TV so loud? I'm like, oh, crap. I text you today, like, I promise, I used to be cool. I don't know what happened to me. I just became old.
Yeah, earlier today, Patrick texted me angry that our favorite sports app changed.
Well, it updated, and it changed, and it moved stuff around. It pissed me off. And then Mike was like, you can fix this. And so I sent him a GIF of mad Clint Eastwood on his front porch. And he goes, you're so old.
Yep. My app changed. I'm mad.
I am mad.
Yeah, I noticed it, and I went and fixed it. And I was like, okay, cool. And you were like, I'm never using it again.
No, not true. I looked at it today.
That's the second time you've written off the CBS Sports app just to come crawling back. There's no better options.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. We got a lot more to get to as the season slowly gets here. We're not far away from pitchers and catchers, so that'll be exciting. Spring training hopefully starts in February, and we'll get a full season. We'll be back next week. For Mike Lynch, Joe Fish behind the glass, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do, like not trade Frankie Lindor.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.